whenever I have the good fortune to have a deacon assisting me, I always say to the deacon, these are my homily notes. You lose them, you give it. Nobody's ever lost my notes, so. But here we are in this wonderful, wonderful feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Much to learn, much to think about, much to pray over, especially as we find ourselves at this particular time and place in the history of our world, and certainly in the history of the church, the history of this community, and certainly the faith community of Elk Grove. But the disciples learned early on that the Lord was always with them, even the most challenging and difficult times. In fact, the Lord left them, went back to heaven, and they had to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So pretty soon we'll celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, but then we look forward to the great Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples and they received the vision and the courage and the strength to go forth and proclaim the gospel. As we know from our study of church history, only one of them died a natural death, and that was John, the beloved disciple. So all of the apostles and all the early, certainly people who joined them and as ministers of the gospel, preachers and teachers, going up spreading the faith, many died as martyrs. They gave their life for the sake of the gospel. Because of their sacrifice, we are here today at a very different time and a very different place in the history, as I say, of the world and of our church and even this community. As I've said, I remember in the early days when I was down the street, we had just under 1,000 students in Queen of the Rosary School and another 1,200 in religious education. And I know here at St. Julian's, you had your own religious education department. We had 3 full-time priests in the parish. Father Jim was over here. And then Father Tesmer was the hospital chaplain. And they used to come to dinner at Queen of the Rosary on Saturday nights. That was always for me the high point of the week, because they could poke fun at the pastor, which I couldn't do. But both were fine men. In fact, Father Rochford died not so very long ago. But I do remember that we had 17 nuns in the convent in those days, 17. And I was in a meeting the other evening with I'm on the board of Maryville Academy, which I've been on for many years, and one of the resurrection sisters said they have 27 members left in their order. And I reminded her of my early days with the Sisters of the Resurrection here in Resurrection Hospital. So it is a different world in many, many ways, but I think what's emerged, and I hope what's emerged, is our sense of responsibility for the ministry and the mission of the church, that is to proclaim and live the gospel wherever we may find ourselves and in whatever circumstances we might also find ourselves as well. Today we celebrate the feast of the Our Lady of Fatima, which is familiar to all of us. I was going to look up the movie, I forget the name of it. It was made long time ago, we'll leave it at that. I think Vincent Price, as I remember, played the bishop, and they were all very kind of, am I right? I think so. And I remember Our Lady appeared on May 13th, 1917, to the 3 young children, a sister and a brother and another young lady, Francisco and Jacinta Marto, and Lucia de Santos, who actually was the longest living member of that 3. And she told them, on this particular day, for the next 6 months, I want you to come together. And she continually appeared to them and told them a number of things she wanted to do. But she said, every day I want you to say the rosary. And of course, after 6 months, and the bishop came and he was incredulous. And I think there's a scene where the sun is kind of dancing in the sky and he's just sinking back in the seat of his open air car. But a wonderful, wonderful movie, and basically reminds us of that particular event. So on this particular feast of the Our Lady, we are reminded of her presence in the most difficult and challenging of times. It was on this date, May 13th, 2021, in the year 2000, Because one of the predictions that was made, the third prediction of the three that were given to Jacinta and the other children, the final one wasn't revealed until I think 1978. And that particular prediction said that a bishop dressed in white would be attacked and would be shot. And there was some conversation after they read the message, and John Paul read it, that it might have been, he might have been talking about Oscar Romero down in Central America, who also died at the altar celebrating Mass. But they said no, it was very clear in the mind of the three children that the Bishop of Rome would be the Pope, of course. He would be the one. And I remember where I was that fateful day. It was actually at Mundelein Seminary. The Cardinal Cody had come to ordain the new priests in the Archdiocese at the seminary chapel. And as the young men were called forward and their names were read, and they would answer, I am ready and willing, they got to the end of the list and four different ladies stood up and said they too were willing and able and ready, which of course Cardinal Cody did not appreciate. And that was how we started the Mass. I remember it vividly. And I was just standing in the back. And during the Gospel, someone came out, and he's standing there with his crozier, and they're reading the Gospel and all that, and whispered in his ear, and his face turned white. And after the Gospel, he said, my brothers and sisters, as unbelievable as it might be, our Holy Father today was shot at the general audience in Rome. So this particular feast was a very special feast, I'm sure, for Pope John Paul, now Saint John Paul II. And if you've been in Rome at St. Peter's, it's beautiful, it's my favorite place to be in the world. And you stand there and so much history and all that. But if you look up on the right-hand side, as you look at the beautiful facade, there's an image on the wall of Our Lady. It's not much bigger than a banner today, but and I'm sure as Pope John was shot in front of that, that's who he looked at. And he ultimately recovered and, as we know, forgave his assailant. So it left us a great example of what it means to be faithful to the Lord in good times and in difficult as well. I have a couple, three questions I would ask us to think about today as we go forward in the life of this faith community here in Elk Grove. Where do we encounter the risen Lord in our own day? Where do we encounter the Holy Spirit at work among us? And where is the Holy Spirit leading us today? Who does he want us and call, who does the Lord want us and call us to be? As they say, when I began here in 54 years ago, it's a very different world. Where did the first disciples encounter the Lord? All during the Easter season, we hear the stories. On Easter Sunday, it is the empty tomb. And the stranger who was there, as the women hurried to at dawn to finish the anointing and realized that the tomb was empty. And the messenger said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen, as he said. And we have the Gospel then as the disciples were in the upper room and they were afraid what happened to Jesus might happen to them. Who appeared among them but Jesus? And then we found it hard to believe. He said, probe my wounds if you want to and know that it is I, risen. And as the story continued, of course, one of the disciples wasn't there, Thomas, sometimes referred to as the doubter. And they told him, we have seen the risen Lord. He said, I'm not going to believe it until I too can probe those wounds. And some days later, they were again gathered there out of fear, I'm sure, in the upper room. And who came but Jesus said, Thomas, do not be an unbeliever, but believe. And his response, as we know, very simply, my Lord and my God. And so we do look forward to the celebration of Pentecost when it comes up shortly. I think the Ascension Sunday, and then the following Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost, when the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples and to the church, to all of us. that we might continue the mission and ministry of proclaiming and living the gospel wherever we find ourselves, as comfortable, as convenient, as familiar as it might seem, or as difficult, or as challenging, or disappointing, or hurtful. Whatever way and wherever we find ourselves, we're always called to be disciples of the Lord who live in hope and know that if the Lord is with us, and we know the Lord is with us, then we cannot ever fail if we're doing and following what the Lord is calling us to do and to be. And so today, I suppose we might ask ourselves here in the year 2022, how do we find and experience the risen Lord Jesus Christ? And I know that in Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, it is becoming a newer reality, a different reality. I know you've worked hard for the last 2 years, and we look forward to the future again. And pray, is that me? I hope not. And pray that the Lord certainly will lead us in the right direction, and give us the sense that he is with us, no matter what we experience, that we might, like the disciples, be faithful to the gospel, and that we might continue to live as disciples of the Lord in every moment of our lives and be grateful for what has taken place these last 54 years and open to the new opportunities and the new challenges that are before us. And in our world today, there are many. You know them as well as I do. But how are we people of hope? And how are we motivated and encouraged by the gifts of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our world? So as we celebrate together the Eucharist, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, we gather around the altar, and the risen Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist is given to us to give us the strength to live as he would have us live. How do we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who gives them to all of us in different ways, but they're all given for the same purpose, to build up the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God among us? How are we confident that the Lord is with us at every moment, good times and in difficult, sickness and in health, until the Lord calls us from this world? So as we gather together and celebrate this feast of the Mary, the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and all that's taken place on this feast, and all that Mary means to us individually and collectively and to our church and to our world, we have much to be grateful for. Like the disciples, we need to know in our hearts that no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, that the Lord is with us always, and for that, we certainly need to be eternally grateful. Let us stand together now, and we'll join in our prayer petition.